All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday. Hope you're doing as good as we are. It's Nick, it's Joel, and oh, as celebrities like to do, they like to join us fashionably late. So that means that our celebrity co-host today, Lance Zierlein, who had very understandable kid duties today as he got his son ready for high school orientation, has to go pick him up, drop him off, get over here. So he'll probably be joining us between 1:30 and 2. But in the meantime, Nick and I got this. So Nick's here, I'm here, and that's all you need to know is you're there listening to us. And very much appreciated that you have us along for the ride on a Way Back Wednesday. Now, here's the deal. Before we get started with anything else on the show, we're going to give you the parameters today, and it's a little bit different because we know that our buddy Barry is out this week. We know that he's in L.A., hobnobbing it up, at a comedy festival. So we didn't want to take away, unlike when Barry, when I'm out, you guys just poo-poo on everything to make sure someone just steps right in and don't miss a beat. I'm going to do this as a memorial to Barry because we don't want him to miss any of this. So today we're going to do it a little differently. Instead of the poll, instead of voting, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set it up hour by hour. Pay attention. It's a three-hour show. There's going to be three separate hourly categories. It's a challenge to you. You have to guess the theme and then why we picked it. All right? And it's going to get progressively harder. So we'll have hour number one, hour number two, hour number three. All right? And there's a theme and then there's a reason why we picked it. So it's on you this week, suspects.
Is it a part of the reason why you decided to do it like this is because you didn't think Lance was going to submit his own list, right?
No, I checked with Lance, and he did say he was going to participate. By the way, another sign of someone that's way too cool, big, and popular is he had to have reminders from me to remind him to do the show.
How many times did you? I bet you texted him like 18 times.
Oh, sarcastic as all hell, too. I sent him more sarcastic tweets. I'm like, this isn't Siri. This is Jolie reminding you that you are going to be on the radio today at 1 o'clock. He goes, well, at 1:30-ish. I'm like, yeah, okay, we don't deal in ishes, so we're just going to let you know that we're going to assume you're going to be somewhere between 1 and 2, but just to remind you, the technical time frame is 1 to 4.
So we could possibly not hear from Lance until 1:45, 1:50, 2 o'clock.
Again, he's Lance Zierlein.
Okay.
He might stop and get coffee, sign some autographs. It just depends on what he's got going on.
Well, he doesn't have a boot slowing him down anymore, right? He's got both shoes on.
He's got a body slowing him down.
Because he had a boot because he had some issues with his leg for a while.
Yeah.
He's got a body slowing him down. Are you calling him big?
No, I'm just saying that he doesn't take care of himself. He doesn't take care of himself like he used to.
Was he ever in shape?
I don't remember. Yeah.
I only met Lance when he started working here.
When I was with the Rockets, and he and Raheel and Nuno and those guys got in the 3-on-3 tournament every year that Daryl threw for the media, they won it year after year.
Wait a second. This 3-on-3 tournament doesn't exist anymore?
No.
Why not?
They kiboshed it a few years ago. I don't know. I don't know why.
It was only strictly for the media.
Yeah.
Wow.
And from 1560 over to Gal, as it transferred to Gal Media, they won it every year. Lance, Nuno, Raheel.
So the Gal Media people, they can ball. Well, I could see Raheel. I've never seen Raheel play basketball, but he looks like he can play.
Yep, I played with you,
so I know you can play. Barry has a little game.
I don't know about Nuno.
Nuno's an athlete. I heard he has like incredible defense, is what I heard.
So he's you.
Maybe, okay. I guess. I don't know. You're Maybe he's better.
You're a defender. I've heard that the Rockets are bringing you in to work with Carmelo.
Yep. Me and Bezdelic are going to we're going to fix this up.
Yep.
This whole Carmelo situation. Don't worry about it.
Someone's got to. All right, so that's the theme for today, right? You and I are good with that. We actually picked all the songs. We had a little fun with it. And again, keep in mind, it's going to get progressively harder. You should be able to put two and two together before we get to the final song in hour number one and hour number two. Hour number three is going to be, and let's be honest, Nick, it's going to be a bit of a challenge for folks.
Yeah, because it's going to get progressively harder, hour three is probably going to. But look, if you're a Houston sports fan, I think you should be able to two and two together.
And
but you just have to think about it.
Normally, we know how smart our listeners are, and the suspects are sharp. But we also
and there are some fans that are not Houstonians, but are aware of what's going on in Houston sports because they're transplants and they kind of keep up what's going on in the sports world. We have a bunch of listeners like that. Clarence is probably one of them.
Ouch.
Well, he's a Saints guy, but he's up to date with what's going on with the Texans. Fair enough.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, we've got some transplants.
Okay, you're right. Oh, we got a lot of transplants for sure, and we got a lot of sharp people. So that's going to be the theme. That's going to be some fun today. So we're gonna get and keep in mind now there'll be seven songs in hour number one and hour number three, eight songs in hour number two, and then you guys can do your homework. There's no prizes involved except for pride, but believe me, with you guys, I know there's a lot that weighs on pride too. So you want to be the first. You want to be the one that gets it. We'll give props and shout outs to those that are along and get what's going on. So with that being said, anything else that I missed going on with you between yesterday and today? Because, hey, shout out to Randy McAvoy, by the way. Not only did he do a nice job.
That was a good show.
That was a good show. Well, obviously very sportsy because, you know, the TV guys, they don't like to. I kidded him before the show and I go, now, Randy, the first three segments are going to be about penises. They're going to be about sexual activity. And he gave me a look like he kind of turned pale like he was Randy, looking at the door.
The story I didn't tell on the show about I've seen Randy at Rockets games and Astros games a lot, but I'd never introduced myself because I never knew him. I didn't know who he was. Sure. So yesterday was the first time I worked with him. But you know how it's all about positioning when it comes down to capturing the video and getting that audio when you're at press conferences or in the locker room?
Right.
Well, Randy, you know, he's a veteran, so he's experienced. So he knows about the whole positioning deal. And one time he had better positioning and he was closer to Mike D'Antoni than I was in terms of shooting video. And so I had to take my phone and kind of shoot over his head, but it got heavy after like 3 or 4 minutes.
Your phone got heavy?
Yeah.
I think that tells you might want to get back in the gym.
Incredibly heavy after like 5 minutes.
Come
let
on,
me tell you.
Man.
So like my arm slowly started falling down, but it touched his hair. And I don't know if you noticed.
Oh, it's perfectly coiffed.
Randy's hair is like perfect.
It's coiffed.
Like it's cannot touch his hair.
It's younger Bill Worrell-ish or Jimmy Johnson-ish.
Such a professional. Turned around and gave me this look, but it was just one look. That's all it took, bro. I was like, I'm not messing with Randy or his hair because he's going to yell.
Yeah, that's
for
like,
sure.
That's like when we talked about like people in the media that can be negotiated with to not run stories and stuff like that. Yeah, he's by the book.
Hair is perfect.
Everybody knows like Randy's not doing that.
He's like perfect. Like his shirt is always perfectly ironed. He's one of those cats. You know, him and like Nate Griffin, they're probably relatively the same in terms of TV professionalism. You know what I mean? Like
right.
They're very protocolish.
I also didn't realize because, again, I was talking about you, Jong, Fred, and I know that Jong and Fred are very passionate about the whole thing about U of H and Kendall Briles. And when he got there's that's where he took kind of made a stance like he thinks that Kendall Briles didn't do anything wrong and everything like that. And then I was listening to the Blitz on the way home and they were both Fred and AJ were both like, Fred, did you hear that? Fred was like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about it a lot, but I think I know people too. And I'm like, that's why I sided with Fred. Fred knows a lot of people and he knows U of H people.
He was talking about till all the facts come out and stuff like that. I don't know what the angle is with him in terms of because he's not he didn't go to the University of Houston. So I don't see why.
Well, but he knows. I mean, because again, but he has a lot of media, ties. He's got a lot of contacts.
Exactly.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't really going to jump on that either. It's a scary topic to take a stance on, Joel.
It is. It really is. And again, I don't think that all the facts are out. You know, I don't think that I still think that there's stuff to be uncovered. And Fred said as much when he said that, you know, there's some things that he knows he can't say. There's some things that he heard that maybe will be said at some point. But at the same time, you know, people were giving props after the show and talking about the callers we had on the show. And the one thing that I was going to put out there, but I think I made the point clear enough when we were talking about it yesterday, which is anybody, whether it be the Maryland coaching staff, whatever happened at Ohio State when that comes out. But anybody that violated the trust of parents and the leadership for what they brought to the kids and have done the kind of things that we're talking about, whether it be at Baylor or Maryland or all these other scandals that are, you know, that have been brought to light. Not only should you not be coaching anymore in college, you shouldn't have the ability to get an out and still coach. You should lose the right, the privilege to coach, period, if you violated it because you were trusted.
You would hope that the backlash that that schools are going to get from parents who say, I'm not going to let my kid play for this program because of this coach and the history he's had, would be enough for him to never get a job again. Because I'll tell you this right now, I've heard former players who have sons who are aspiring NBA players, and their moms would tell me, I am not going to let my player play for this program because that particular coach has a history of being extremely abusive, whether verbal or physical or whatever the case may be, in that program. And so they don't want their son to play in that program. So you would think that the backlash that you get from parents would be enough, but you just don't know. Kendall Briles, obviously got a gig. Art Briles had a gig, in Canada for a while, right?
Well, he was hired in Canada, and then it got such a backlash. They went back on it, changed their mind. Now he's coaching in Italy. I didn't even know they had football. I mean, they had football, but I don't know that they had football in Italy.
Right. And Canada, that's the second time, first or second time, but Canada took that stance with Greg Hardy as well. Yeah. So Canada's doing a pretty good job in terms of at least the CFL.
But the out that I don't like is like the guys that end up in the NFL. And they end up probably making more money and get a cushier lifestyle. And all they did was crap all over kids' programs, universities, everything in their wake. And yet they still find a way to find another job. That's why I also think that guys like Will Muschamp are pieces of garbage too. Because he's coming to the defense right away of Durkin. And it's like, okay, he might be your buddy. But your buddy is the reason why, in part, or maybe in more so than just a part. But there's a reason why there's the 19-year-old kid that's no longer living, and he had a part in that, and that's wrong.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, look, if I had a kid that actually was an athlete, because let's be honest, not all kids should be athletes. But if I had a kid that was actually an athlete, and I'm considering a major D1 program, I don't care how respected your program is, you can't get physical. And it's really a bad decision. I would imagine that it's easy for us to say that all these programs have this type of culture that exists. Right. But at the same time, I would like to think that some of these big programs like the SEC or big conferences like
big
the SEC
10,
or
yep.
Big Ten and these big programs, if they did see a situation where a guy was being dragged and he was convulsing or perhaps his eyes, because that's what heat strokes do to you. Your eyes are literally like moving in the back of your head.
He literally couldn't stand up and walk on his own. So the coaches told two different players to get on either side of him and basically escort him so he could keep walking on the field.
I'd like to think the LSUs and the Alabamas and the USCs of the world would see that as a line that cannot be crossed.
But Nick, that should be for every university. I don't care how big or small. Yeah. That should be the case. Yep. And players, the whistleblowers should be all over the place. Whistleblowers, look at the Big Ten schools. Look at Michigan State with the Nasser stuff. Look at Penn State with all that from paternal
both
on
of those programs,
down, right?
It was years.
Now you got Maryland in the Big Ten also and Ohio State in the Big Ten. It's a horrible look for the Big Ten conference right now. And those are big time schools. But again, none of these guys should be coaching ever again.
No.
Whether they're guilty from the court of law, whether they're guilty because someone actually had some ramifications, death or otherwise, the women, the victims, that's the other thing we can't lose sight of either. These victims should not be forgotten. Everybody forgets about the story after it runs the news cycle or after a year or two. But like everybody's talking about Ray Rice. Let's talk about Ray Rice's wife. Let's make sure she's okay.
Yep.
Don't
no
forget
doubt.
The victims in all of this, too. So we've got plenty to get to, and that's just a portion of it. Lance will be joining us after 1:30. But if you want to join the show, the HR&P listener line is 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text. You can also hit us on Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick. It's at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And we all know that the superstar can be reached at Lance Zierlein, and he will be joining us, I'm sure, whenever he gets his coffee and his personal assistant reminds him one last time that he needs to be here. But it's the usual suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, let me clarify. Here's a technical little pro tip for you people. This is not Daz, okay? This is a sampled song on an Ice Cube track, all right? No Vaseline. So there wasn't a clean enough version to play, but I want to be very clear on the technicality. The song that we are actually playing here is not the sampled song. It's No Vaseline by Ice Cube.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Which we've all said is one of the greatest diss tracks of all time.
And I think I did this the last time.
I don't remember, but it's probably the smart move.
Yeah, because he...
Barry would have been influencing you to play it anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And then it would have sounded like...
dumped it, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
Nope.
And you wouldn't have gotten it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll technically say it like
that. But you clarified it, so it's all good.
Also, from the text line early on, I won't say... your guys' show is number one. Keep doing what you're doing. Nick, what's up? That's great. The first part of it I'm not reading on the air. But it wasn't about us. Big fan of the show. Again, another show, another text critical of the shows around us. We're not going to get into all that. Mike, OU Mike, has been heard from early, Nick. And quite simply, he's made a statement. I'm going to win this bitch.
OU Mike. OU Mike hasn't won anything. But I will say this. I did want to give OU Mike more credit than what Raheel gave him yesterday, because he was saying he was what, 80-20?
Yeah, I'd go 50-50 easy.
I'm okay with 60-40. Yeah, 20-80 is...
20-80 is a little extreme on the wrong side, I think.
Yeah, I give him more credit than that. So I'm looking forward to OU Mike's call if you and Lance are willing to have him. I'm sure Lance always is familiar with OU Mike.
Yeah, and I'm always open to OU Mike. Okay, there's other people that I'm not sure I'm okay with. Okay,
are even if I broke my bike. Talking about Gilbert right now?
I might be.
I'm just impressed with the fact that he rides his bike everywhere and he goes to all these.
Well, don't sleep on that. He rides his bike to the bus stop, puts his bike on the bus, and then makes
sure that still work, man. You gotta find the bike rack. You gotta pick up that heavy thing.
I agree with you because I know that he lives somewhere. I think in this Meyerlandish area or somewhere in this area. And when we did the grill shop over on the north side, and he showed up.
How did he get there?
He took the park and ride or something like that with his bike on it, and then he was asking us how to get back to it. So I give him credit because he literally trekked across the city between mass transit and his bike.
There's a certain mentality you have to just use a bike to get around a city like Houston. I'm just too lazy. There's no way. No way.
I mean, that's a lot of work.
What's the furthest you've ridden your bike?
You're a runner. So my buddy Ty is a big bike guy, and he's not afraid. He finds these trails. And he's not afraid to just go.
Ever did that Austin trail where you go to like...
Oh, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to Austin. I'm not doing the MS-150. Although I would consider it, right? Like Tony, the equipment manager for the Rockets, he does the MS-150 every year, swears by it, is on a team,
charitable
raises
causes,
money.
So
yeah,
it's cool.
Does a great thing. It's cool.
Yeah.
I'm not that... I have a mountain bike. This frame that I have is not suitable for a frame of the bikes they're riding when they're going to Austin. But I have done like... 30 miles in a day where we just got on mountain bikes and we took it all the way from here to like George Bush Park way out that way and around.
Yeah,
and
I've
back.
Seen that. I actually want to try that. I might be able to survive. I'm not saying that I wouldn't quit and get off and then call my mom or something to come pick me up, but I'm just saying I would try.
Nick, you're a grown ass man. You can't be calling your mom at this point.
Well, I got to call somebody
if I
have my
bike.
Don't
you?
Oh, I can call my friend too, but mama would be the first to call.
Okay.
Mama, come pick me up, mama.
There you go. No, that's not the theme, by the way.
Nope.
Okay, so we've got lots of text rolling in as well. One thing I wanted to get to before we get too deep into the show, but so we needed a plumber today. So use the home warranty. Plumber's showing up, and really nice guy, and he fixes the sink issue we had going on. And he starts telling me, he's like, man, you know what? This is easy. He goes, sometimes we get some issues that we're not so familiar with, and it gets kind of awkward and things like that. I'm like, really? What are you talking about? And so he sits down at the kitchen table, which alone means, oh God, this is going to be a while. But it was all right because he was a good dude and he was telling me stories. He said, Nick, and we can relate to this kind of out in our neighborhood a little bit more, but he said there are some things that Barry would be very interested in as well. He said that especially out in Sugar Land, that he sees a lot of custom toilet seats. And these custom toilet seats, like, are elaborate. And they do everything. And I said, what do you mean do everything? He's like, well, there's this Asian lady. And she says that until I fix what's going on with the plumbing and everything else, that she can't poop. And he's like, what? And she's like, yeah, I can't. She goes, you don't understand how vital this is. This is important. Like, life-threatening important. Like, I have to have this. And he's like, I don't get it. And he's like, what does it do? Turns out that the toilet seat actually sends a light stream, but with very good aim, that massages the butthole.
No.
Until it entices you to poop.
What?
So it's like a bidet with better aim and warmer water.
But with a little bit of a different purpose, though. Because a bidet, that purpose is to clean.
I was like, you got to be kidding
me.
That's
to help you poop.
Oh, no, it gets worse. I'm like, what do you mean worse? He's like, well, one lady makes her husband sit to pee. So she's essentially, her husband is Brian Barrett, who's on the network side. Yeah. Here, we've had this conversation before. But she took a black light to show, and evidently there's a YouTube video that also highlights this, that even no matter how accurate you are, if you stand and pee at your toilet, that between the walls, the floor, and the area around the toilet, the black light illustrates how many germs and splash marks are all over the place. So much so that they said in Asia, there's wallpaper, temporary wallpaper. And if you choose to stand to pee, it's on you to take down all the paper around the toilet and then repaper it before you leave.
Who's going
to
do that here?
Exactly.
Nobody.
First of all, not in this office space.
Absolutely not.
That's crazy, too.
We're trying to educate people how to use just to flush the toilet first.
Here's the one that really made me think of Barry, okay? He said that in our neck of the woods, out towards Sugar Land, Telfair, Mo City, okay? He said there's a lot of people from, I'll try and categorize it, but he said there's a lot of people out there that have a vegetable sprayer next to the toilet. I'm like, what? A vegetable sprayer? He goes, you know, like a small sprayer, but it's got like vegetable oil. I'm like, why? He said, because when they're done, they stand up and squat above the toilet seat. And instead of wiping, they spray vegetable oil all over their privates and their cheeks. I'm like, so what does that do? And he's like, well, it's supposed to, like, keep everything from splashing out or being met. I'm like, but basically you're taking every germ possible and suffocating it into your skin and keeping it there. He said, oh, no. He goes, I can't tell you how many houses in the Sugar Land area that I deal with where there is a vegetable sprayer attached to, on the side of, or near the toilet.
Never heard of this ever in my life. That is crazy.
Cannot be anything less hygienic.
I would have told him he's a liar. I wouldn't have believed him. I would have been like, you're lying to me right now.
And he said because of it, the toilet seats not only have the aim, they are instant foamers. Like when you sit down before you start the process, the seat will foam inside the bowl all the way up to the seat, so that it prevents splashing. So now whatever comes down and hits the foam dies right there in the bowl.
This is definitely a story for Barry. Barry would be the one to be able to explain.
I was thinking about Barry the whole time. I go, bro, you have no idea. If my co-host was here this week.
It almost makes him look behind. Like he's behind on what's new in the whole.
Yeah, technology-wise, we've already talked about Barry likes those elaborate toilet seats and everything like
that.
He's got a Yugo compared to what this guy was telling me, this Rolls Royce of toilet seats. I was in amazement. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And there was another one that he told me, but I was like, that it was even worse. But I'm like, unreal that you have like toilet seats that do this, but also unreal that people think this in-depth about just taking a leak.
You're a type of guy that says you're in and out.
In and out.
And we've talked about how there's other people who have the preference of this is like their kingdom, their throne.
Yeah. TV's in the bathroom, useless. Yeah. I don't get it.
That has to be something that caters to that base, right? It can't be the person like you who wants to go in and out and just get it, just get the job done.
Like, the plumber thought he was being funny, and he was talking to the lady about the fact, like, she said she couldn't go without this seat. He goes, you ever tried a garden hose? She didn't know what one was. So he brought her out in the backyard and showed her the garden hose, and she did start laughing, but then basically said, now get back in there because I'm dead serious. If you don't fix this, I can't go. Like, they're that reliant. I guess this is, like, almost customary in Asia, in certain places in Asia, where she was from. I think she might have been from Korea. I'm not sure. But he was like, wherever she's from, like, literally, if something goes wrong with the toilet seat, they're not going.
Man, in Asia, they've got, like, holes in the floor that people poop into.
I've been to China twice.
Let's be real.
And with the Rockets, even in the arena that the Rockets played in, there are toilet seats nailed to the cement floor, yeah, or, like, drilled into the cement floor. You just sit on the floor.
Very common around the world, just so you know. Extremely common.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll continue to roll on. John, we see you. We're going to get to you. You want to get into that coaching stuff we were talking about yesterday and a little bit already today. We'll get to you as well. Text messages are wide open and coming in. You can take a call. We can take calls like John, or you can reach us on Twitter. Regardless of which way you choose, HR&P listener line is open, 713-780-3776. Also at Twitter, at the producer, Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Lance will join us in the second half hour of hour number one. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on a Way Back Wednesday. Nick and Joel, Lance will be here. You guys are pretty good. But again, this was hour number one, so it's a little easier. But we already had
themes.
We have a text message, and we have a couple of tweets, including from one AJ Hoffman, that already.
Before we reveal it, though, I think we should wait and see if more people can guess it in the first hour.
Yeah, no doubt. We're not going to say what it is, but there are people that are on the beaten path. And again, it is the easiest of the 3 hours. But again, good job by you guys, so we appreciate that. Checking up on the text messages. Some people are texting us stuff that they need to send to their lawyer. No idea what the hell they're talking about. Someone not named OU Mike said, were y'all talking about Johnny Weir's butthole toilet? So OU Mike, you're rubbing off on people. Not saying that's in a good way. Someone said, guess now that Barry's gone, Nick is the fattest on the show. And it was not L.U. Dillon.
So other people are joining the Dillon bandwagon.
Again, we set these themes across the board, Nick, and people are not only catching on, but they're going a little crazy. Robert and Tomball says, we already hit the over the talk for poop talk in Barry's absence. Well, we're making him proud then, I'm sure. So we will continue to check those as we go.
But hey, going back to that hole in the ground for a restroom in China and stuff like that.
Yeah.
As disgusting as it sounds, in terms of like a potential, I guess, keeper or janitor, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. That's probably an ideal situation. That's less to clean.
They just mop everything, right? I mean, they
don't have to lift the toilet seat. They don't have to put their hands on a toilet bowl. It's just a hole in the ground, literally.
Because honestly, when we went, and I went to the first trip when the Rockets played the Kings, and we went to Beijing and Shanghai, and that obviously the hotels were fine, but it was commonplace, like you said, from the arenas and otherwise, that it was there's no not even like tile. It's concrete in the bathrooms at the arenas with just the toilet seats in the men's room. And I guess from what we heard from the power dancers and everything, they refused to use
any public toilet.
They were just doing it. They were going to wait to the hotel because literally, I guess both were the same. It's just a toilet seat drilled down with a hole on concrete.
See, I don't even remember seeing when I saw it. I don't even remember seeing a toilet seat being. I just saw a hole, like a literal hole in the ground. And a lot of it was, some of it was tile and some of it was concrete, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Depending on the spot. But it was literally a hole that was probably 6 or 7 inches in diameter. I'm being honest.
In the arenas, at least, it was like almost a toilet-sized hole with a seat on it. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was, and essentially, I mean, obviously, thank God, it was deep, so you couldn't see what was being left behind. But at the same time, you're still going, man, what do you sit Indian style?
But it smelled foul, didn't it?
Yeah, you sit Indian style. Do you just let the... what do you do? Like you're stretching?
I don't know.
The positioning alone is awkward.
Hopefully you've done squats.
I don't know, man. And the whole, and then again, the, and here's the other story he told me, which was real. This is a Barry story in itself, okay? He said, I said, what's one of the weirdest things you've ever, now that we're talking about this, what's one of the weirdest situations you've ever had in plumbing? He's like, well, I came in, the lady said she had a problem with her toilet, and she said, the water's always blue. And he said, well, I right away, I just said, well, ma'am, I think you're probably putting too much of the toilet cleaner and the
that would be my first guess,
right?
Too.
So he's like, well, then he realized when he took off the back of the toilet, this work gets weird, Nick. There were ice cubes in the actual toilet back with the water. And he's like, what's going on here? And the whole thing was blue. So he started doing some more investigating, and I guess this chick was a complete germaphobe. So she said, but wait a minute, before you do any more, let me show you this. She went to her sink and turned on the water, and it was blue.
Oh.
He said that when certain toilets back up in townhouses and such, that it sends the water back into the line. And then when the line either flushes out or gets redistributed, whatever was being pushed back could be pushed out through faucets in the house as well as back through the toilet.
Being a germaphobe is not always a good thing.
He said she was literally crying and shrieking because of how disgusting that was. And I was like, so what do you do? I mean, obviously you're not drinking the water. I'm like, but how do you clean the pipes and everything like that? And he's like, you just got to let it run its course. You know, you can
basically nothing much he can do about it.
I'm never drinking water. I'm selling that house immediately.
Yeah, I'm not touching that house either.
Disgusting.
Yeah. There's no filter system in the world that I could put in my house to make me feel better about that. No way.
Once he left, I was going, what the hell's going on with plumbing these days? I mean, obviously the guy gets a new adventure every day. Most of these adventures I want nothing to do with.
Yeah. I mean, I know plumbers make good money, but I cannot see. The other, I asked a plumber a similar question, and he said the weirdest thing that he ever had was, for whatever reason, the tenant kept putting Q-tips, like flushing Q-tips down the toilet,
right.
And it eventually caught up with them and it clogged. And so when he went to inquire about the situation, all he was able to unclog was a bunch of Q-tips. And he's like, well, tell your kids to stop using Q-tips and throw it in the toilet, throw it in the trash. And I thought that was weird, but I never throw my Q-tips in the toilet.
Not in the toilet.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's certain things you just don't do, and you don't need to put large articles into the toilet. There are garbage cans for that. But that's weird. All right, before we get to the break, Lance is here. He'll be joining us next segment, so that's good. Let's get John in here, who wants to talk a little about coaches in general. John, you've been waiting. We appreciate it. What's up?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
What's up, man?
Hey, you brought up a real sore subject with me. Because I've been paying attention to Ohio State in particular. And has there been any fallout from that Dr. Struff, who was caught, well, who is known widely throughout the university for doing you-know-what to the players and stuff? Has there been any fallout on the coaches back then?
You're saying at Ohio State?
Yeah. You know, a couple of weeks ago it came out that the team doctor for the wrestling team and a bunch of the other university teams was known to be fondling the adult the male players.
Yeah, I vaguely know the story, and I know that I think that there was someone in politics that was being roped into it as having knowledge of that at the time, but I'm not going to tell you that I'm extremely familiar with it.
Okay, I didn't know if there was, because all I hear was about the guy in politics, but I didn't hear anything about any of the coaches that were coaching back then, if there was any, any consequences for them knowing and not doing anything. Because from what the kids were, they were saying it was up to 100 young men who came forward after it started coming out. But there hasn't been any that I've seen. About any consequences.
Okay. I mean, you said you're pretty passionate about this. So Lance is coming in next. We can get to some of that as well. Good to see that Lance's crowd is being mixed in with ours, and we appreciate that. So, John, we appreciate the call. We're going to take a quick break, get Lance in here, and get going on even more of the show. But we appreciate you being a part of it. Again, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Back on the show. And what do you know? The superstar has arrived. That means his personal assistant is taking care of all of his details. His private alarm company has allowed him know that he was to remember that he was going to be on the air with us. And we appreciate the fact that he is going to share some of his knowledge and humor with us as we continue to roll on. Lance Zierlein in the building. Lance, part of the show now. So appreciate you stopping by.
What an introduction. What?
Good thing. I thought you might have been listening on the way here because we build you up as the celebrity superstar that you are.
No, I had to head to the house first and then come up here. So, yeah, I'm ready to roll now. No superstar here. I'm just a guy that wakes up early.
Is that what you do?
Well, not super early.
No.
Well, no, it's early. It's not like newsman. Like, what time is your wife on?
Oh, God. Don't get
me started. Morning?
Yeah, she wakes up at 1:45.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. TV people, Nate Griffin said he gets up at 2:45 or 3 in the morning, something like that.
Well, he's got to do his hair and makeup, too. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, Lisa gets up at 1:45 or 2, leaves the house by like 3:15, is on the air at 4:30.
That's insane. And the news people are the early. I could never get used to that schedule. I had a hard enough time. I decided I was out of doing radio at 6 a.m. anymore. That's just not going to happen for me. I've done it enough. 1 hour may not seem like a big deal to people, but it's a big deal when you get 1 extra hour of sleep.
No question about it. And, you know, I'm not a TV person per se. I've adjusted to the schedule well because I have no choice. Because she wakes me up for everything.
Your schedule is her schedule?
Oh, she wakes me up no matter what.
What do you mean she wakes you up?
Well, if the dogs won't come in from outside when she lets the dogs out or she's, you know, something happened.
What time are you going to bed?
I go to bed at like 10:30, 11.
Oh, and like regular bed.
Yeah,
time.
So then I got to go back to sleep when she leaves, assuming she's at least once a morning.
And you do go back to sleep?
I've conditioned myself to do so. I used to be that good, and you can relate.
Once you're
too.
Up, you're up.
Yeah, but also when you don't have kids, it's harder to go back to sleep if when you wake up. When you have kids and other things going on, and obviously with her schedule, everything changes.
I remember I would be sitting there. There'd be times where, you know, I don't typically go to bed until after 11. And then I would wake up at the alarm clock would go off at 4:45. It'd be on the air at 6. I live relatively close when I was at 790. And it was just, you wake up and the first thought in your head is, one day I won't have to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, just get through it. And then I'm just, as soon as I can get to that gigantic coffee I get every day, which does give me acid reflux, but still it's not as bad as it used to be. It still causes me to do the old throat clearing thing. I just have to live with that because it wakes me up. Now, I'm addicted to caffeine now. I have to have it Saturday, Sunday.
Because you and I both have reflux. We have different versions of it.
It's the worst thing for reflux.
Yeah, caffeine is the worst thing, and you just go balls out with these massive big gulps of caffeine.
30, your Tranta size, that's what I get in coffee every morning. And it's gone by, most of the time, it's gone by about halfway through the
first
hour.
Only one you do all day?
Yeah, I used to do two, but there's no reason to.
I have one coffee a day in the morning, and with reflux, if that's all I have, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But if I have more than one, boy, it really messes with you.
Yeah, eating late at night can be a problem. Red sauce. Like, I'm an expert in this field. I had to have surgery, so I know all about what works. We talked about it a while back.
Yeah, a long time
ago. I know what works, what doesn't work. I know.
But your voice peters out. It did.
It doesn't as badly, but it still does. Like, it used to start getting tired at about 2.5 hours. Now we'll get tired at about 3, 3.5. Like, I can't do a 4-hour show anymore because it just gets really, really tired and fatigued. But, there was a time where it was nerve-wracking because I thought, this is what I do for a living, and my voice was fatiguing out after a couple hours every day, and it was like I wouldn't talk to anybody during the day. I just got super depressed because I was, you know, everything had to turn into a text. And this is before everything used to be a text when you'd make phone calls. It was like I just became completely antisocial outside of the show because I didn't want to talk at all. I didn't want to, you know, it was a strain to talk, and I started learning to talk improperly with not using enough air, mm-hmm. which caused a lot of tightness in my throat and things like that. So, man, it was a nightmare. There's a lot of people right now, like John McClane, I can tell he's badass, a reflux guy with the way he talks.
Well, I mean, with what he eats.
Well, it doesn't help, but I mean, you know, I can listen to certain people talk and just be like, ooh, they had their throat has just been
guys,
ripped to shreds.
I was talking to Bill O'Brien and my voice just went out and I'm going to have to be a few minutes.
That's exactly right. And people who cough all the time, like they're constantly having a cough or two, that's a sign of acid reflux. People don't know it, but that can be one. Like, you have to deal with it, man. It is a nightmare.
Yeah, and definitely, like you said, diet-wise, starchy foods, acidic foods, spicy foods.
Red sauce of any kind, yeah. Chocolate, anything with caffeine in it, late at night, fried food, really bad for
fried
you.
Fried foods are awful with yeah. the starches terrible. And all that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So definitely, I know we both have dealt with it over the years, but yeah, it's no fun, especially when you do what we do. So.
Remember when Steve Fran, you were with the Rockets when Steve had Meniere's disease. Remember that? Where he couldn't have fried food and it would give him headaches, yeah, right? It was 2002.
That was kind of like
weren't you there in 2002?
Yeah, yeah, that was kind of like the time when they started dealing with athletes starting to get into personal chefs and things like that.
Yeah. Because
he had to have prepared meals.
Well, but it was one year, it was a massive problem, and I don't remember it being a problem after that. I guess it was just all diet.
I think the other thing is, too, just like anything else, medical technology and stuff gets better as they continue to research it and work with it when it starts to be more prevalent and they find ways to kind of combat it. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't hear anything after that, but I remember that first year they had people scrambling to prepare. That was when Steve was a big deal, but
right,
preparing his meals and, you know, making sure he didn't go off the beaten path when he was like at a fast food joint or whatever.
But do you, was that team as brutal for you, your memory as it, like my memory of that team when they went to, Yao brought a little something brand new and fresh and exciting to the team. Then Tracy came, it was way exciting. Then Gundy got a bunch of guys together who were kind of misfits who happened to play really hard and played for each other. And they were a fun underdog type team to cover and follow until obviously, you know, Tracy and Yao's injuries became too much of an issue. I look back so unfondly on the Francis and Mobley years, the Rudy as the coach, and I just felt like it was the most Moochie and Mo Taylor and Kelvin Cato, Walt Williams. It was just a collection of guys who had some individual talents, but as a team, it just never felt cohesive.
Well, and that's when they thought, literally, Steve was the franchise.
Yeah.
So if you were a friend of his or related to him in some way, like friend-wise, you had a connection to him, you're going to be on the Rockets. Moochie Norris got 5 years and $25 million because of the fact that he was tight with Steve. Terrence Morris, if you remember that name. Terrence Morris went from bubbly role player at best, Maryland player, to guaranteed money with the Rockets. Walt Williams, Maryland guy.
Yeah.
Walt Williams going to be with the Rockets. You know?
Yeah.
They were trying to put everybody that was Steve's buddy around him and didn't
to make Steve happy or to try to get Steve to a place where he would play at his
best. Remember
now,
because he refused to play in Vancouver when he was drafted there.
Yeah.
So they knew that aside from, you know, making him happy by making the trade, that they wanted to make him feel like this was going to be a place that he could be long term. So they're going to surround him with guys that he liked that he could feel comfortable with. But that didn't necessarily have anything to do with winning. Because I laughed when, you know, this last year when they started doing the thing on TNT where dribbles per possession.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine what that would have been?
Their machine would have tilted.
The backing it in. And that's the funny thing about Charles Barkley killing the Rockets about that. Charles was the worst. And granted, that was how he was. At that time, he had to play that way. Mm-hmm. Charles's backing it in, iso ball was horrific to watch. The ironic thing was that he was complaining about the iso ball with the Rockets this year and last year when he did the same thing. I mean, it's kind of like when Calvin Murphy complains about defense, or, you know, not hitting, you know, not making the extra pass, or Rudy would complain about defense. Like, you guys do realize this is pretty ironic.
Yeah. I mean, remember that? Because literally, he'd get the ball on the perimeter 35 feet out and just start the process of backing you down. And when he got tired, he'd just yank it from 35 feet.
Steve with the iso ball. I mean, that was truly terrible because they weren't efficient. Like, at least James has a high efficiency rating. It may not always be fun to watch for everybody, but they scored an efficient pace. When you have guys who are inefficient and don't shoot well from three, that Rockets team was terrible to watch. And you were there with the with the organization.
Yeah. It was tough for everybody. And the other thing was, I could see a mile away. You want to make Steve your franchise, but when Stevie's knees start to go, he ain't going to be worth or doing the dunk contest and being the player that you think he's going to be. But everybody gave him money, and Stevie got more from the buyouts than he ended up doing by living up to his contract.
I'm hoping that Melo is not another Steve Francis coming after a buyout. I don't think he is, because Steve, I didn't think, had anything that would help the Rockets. Carmelo can help the Rockets. We'll talk about that on the other side about just
that
how
much.
That
was Lance Erline, so stay off my ass today. I said my piece yesterday. Lance has already joined the fray with that comment. Carmelo, Steve Francis.
Are they on you already?
Compare, contrast. Oh, yeah. You're such a... We had a caller yesterday because I said that he doesn't play D and he's got to prove that he wants to win. The guy just went... I think the guy is still, he's probably a 45-year-old man and still has posters of Carmelo in his bedroom. He went nuts on me. All right, 1 hour in the books, 2 hours to go. Hour number one, Texter, you were right in the 832. You had it early. Nick, AJ had it. AJ Hoffman had it. A couple other people had it. Yes, songs with fight themes, presumably for the D-Hop fight today at practice with the Niners. That's exactly right. That's why we held off talking about it. We'll get Lance's opinion on that and everything going down at Texans camp next. Don't wait to join the theme. We're going to have theme for hour number two and a whole lot more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.